Father, thank you for telling us through the Apostle Paul in Galatians that there is a way to live life as a Christian, a way that we can live where we can sow to please the Spirit. Father, help us to consider how we might be able to do that tonight. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I think there are so many needs in the world, and it would be easy to become weary. And I've seen horrendous things. When I've been in the Philippines, this was actually a trip before I met CJ, I saw kids scavenging through rubbish dumps. But I've seen pastors like Pastor Alindo, who'd been ministering in that community for 30 years, they did not grow weary in doing good. And telling kids who feel like they're just an extension of the rubbish as their testimony. That's part of the socio-emotional development of a child when they come to Compassion Sponsorship. They're actually not part of the rubbish, they're created in God's image, as CJ shared. And Pastor Alindo had been faithfully sharing that message with children for 30 years. He's one of our partner pastors. They're the sort of people we work with. In Indonesia, I've seen kids not only scavenging through rubbish dumps, but living on the rubbish, in houses made of rubbish. In a town not too far away from where many of you sponsor children. And you can get sort of compassion fatigue, like there's so many needs in the world. I'm just one person in Australia. What difference could I possibly make? Well, God's not telling you to change the world, because he tells us in his word that he's changing the world. But God encourages us to be good stewards of what he's given us. We are blessed. We are the richest people in the richest city in the richest time in human history. Even though I'm actually struggling probably to pay my bills a lot of the time, but I'm still living in a 5-bedroom house. And I've plenty of food to eat. So God encourages us to consider ways that we can be his blessing in our broken world. And one of the ways you can do that, perhaps, is by rescuing a child. And this idea of rescuing one person, making a difference, that's our story too. If you're here and you're a Christian, that is because God has reached into your life through the Holy Spirit, opened your eyes, and you trust in Jesus for your salvation. That's your rescue story. We see it, of course, in Jesus' parables, where Jesus leaves the 99 to go and find the one. And you are that one. Let's remind ourselves of our rescue from Galatians chapter 1. Then we'll look at Galatians chapter 2, go to Galatians chapter 6, and backtrack a little to Galatians chapter 5, and hopefully all within the time frame. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Well, we are in an evil age. There's an extraordinary evil all around us in Sydney. You may know about it. It's called unbelief. That's what Hebrews says, a heart of unbelief, an evil heart of unbelief. Since Adam and Eve, it has been unbelief that has led to every other kind of evil that is destroying our world. So we're living in that present evil age. But if you believe, it's because the Lord Jesus Christ has rescued you, and he has rescued you. We're told in other things that Paul has written, 1 Corinthians 3, for instance, that we are God's co-workers. What an awesome privilege to be God's co-worker. Or in Ephesians chapter 2, we're reminded, it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Okay, I've got a little Greek word, I'm going to explain that a little bit more later on, but I want to look at those first four Greek letters to examine what good works may be. What do good works look like? Let's go to the apostles. What did good works look like for them? We see there are two groups of apostles here. The guys that walk with Jesus, Peter, James and John, they said, continue to remember the poor. They told Paul and Barnabas, continue to remember the poor. And Paul said, that was the very thing I was eager to do. So there's one gospel message. There's only one gospel message for all of humanity, Jew and Gentile. And that is salvation through Christ alone. There is no other way to be saved. But do you see, apart from that message that they had in common, they had another thing in common. They wanted to care for the poor. And we sometimes forget that. But let's think about church history. If you look at the media, you'll hear anything bad about the church. But the church has been a powerful force for good for 2,000 years. They've been caring for poor people, for oppressed people, for broken people, for hurting people, for poor people. And it's easy to forget the poor. That's why I think that strange phrase is there, remembering the poor, because it's easy to forget the poor. It's easy to pretend they don't exist, or it's easy to be slow to remember the poor. But in contrast, the Apostle Paul was eager to care for the poor. And the church has been eager to care for the poor for 2,000 years. And it's made the church a beautiful beacon of hope in the developing world. Compassion's ministry has enabled me to remember the poor. Compassion's a Christ-centered ministry. The Lord Jesus is at the centre of everything we do, has been for 71 years. Child focus, because kids in the developing world are highly vulnerable children. And Compassion's church-based. We only work through evangelical churches of different denominations. And one of those churches I visited in Thailand in 2017 with my daughter Julia and Fig Tree Anglican Church. I took a group of supporters to visit their kids. That church went into the community and found the poorest kids that they could find, the kids who needed the most help, and invited them into the church community through sponsorship to be grafted into a loving church community. Pena Korn's dad was single dad. His wife had died of cancer 2 years earlier, and he was struggling to raise his son. And Compassion said, well, the Compassion Partner Church said, we'll help. And my son Nathaniel sponsored Pena Korn on that trip. I went back in 2018 with Ashfield Presbyterian Church. That was actually at the time when those boys were trapped in the cave. Remember that? And, you know, the boy that could speak five languages that said, in English, we're all here, we're all okay. He was a Compassion sponsored child as well. That was on the last day of this trip. There were amazing things that I found out on this trip. But I did see in front of me proof that he had been flourishing. Pena Korn had grown. Sometimes in some of the countries we work in, a big chunk of what you give to support a child will go towards nutritional benefits, whether it's vitamins, nutritional food at the project. But Pena Korn had grown. He was a little guy. He had grown. And I saw his chart. So when you visit a child, you get to see their folder and you see the growth charts and you see spiritual benchmarks. It's a very comprehensive program that cares for kids. One of the things I was also told by the project staff is his behaviour had changed. He had a lot of behavioural problems and low self-esteem when he started at the project. But he was flourishing. The other thing that I saw that excited me was what his father had done with the family gift. So if you already sponsor a child, you may not know, because we don't publicise this very well, I'm not sure why, you can send a family gift, and 100% of the value of that gift will go to the family. Same with a child gift or a birthday gift. And with $100, he started a hairdressing business. He actually built that extension and was cutting the hair of people living in that village, and he said it was sustainable for him. This is my daughter Penelope with her sponsor child Abraham in Indonesia. He sent us a letter. We sent him $100. He sent us a letter and said, I bought a pair of sandals and a bed. I've never slept in a bed before. We were just blown away. All this time I've been sleeping on the floor. Anyway, back to Thailand. Remembering the poor can have great spiritual outcomes, as I found out on this trip, because I invited Pena Korn's dad to church. I said, look, the promises that your son is hearing in the sponsorship program, I'm sharing those promises at church tomorrow. Do you want to come and hear them? He's like, no, 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 I'm Buddhist. I'm not going to come. But he did in fact turn up, and I could see that God was on the move. And I didn't realise how much God was on the move till I went back in January 2020 with my whole family and two groups from two different churches. Went to Thailand, went to Indonesia. On that particular trip, we met five of the kids that we sponsor. It was a really wonderful, joyful time. But one of the greatest joys was finding out that Pena Korn's dad had become a Christian. So this is Pena Korn's pastor. He's the pastor that oversees the program. Like, pastors aren't paid by Compassion, they're our volunteers. But they love being resourced by Compassion to care for their communities. Excuse me. And he told me that after Pena Korn's dad had been to the church, he went back again and again and kept sharing the promises of Jesus. And now the dad was reading the Bible to the son every night. And we all rejoiced in God's great harvest. All we did was remember the poor. We had a platform to do it through Compassion, and God had created this beautiful harvest. A man had been saved and was sharing the gospel now with his son. And that gave great joy to Pastor Sombat as well, because he himself was a former Compassion sponsor child, and he's seen that cycle. He's part of that cycle. He said many of the kids that grew up with him are now in church leadership in Thailand. And that's been part of Compassion's Christ-centered story for 71 years. I think Compassion's ministry has honoured our Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus has honoured the ministry of Compassion. So we've been rescued, chapter 1. Chapter 2, eagerness from the apostles to care for the poor. Let's now go to chapter 6, and if you have your Bible in front of you, but it'll just be here anyway, so you can read it here. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. We could easily have become weary over the past 3.5 years of the pandemic. It's been challenging for most of us. And Paul was operating in difficult circumstances too. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he said at times he despaired of life itself. So if you've despaired of life itself over the past 3.5 years, the Apostle Paul knows how you feel. But he says, keep going. Don't become weary in doing good. What is doing good though? So let's revisit that Greek word. Why am I bombarding you with Greek words? Well, I'm Greek. I didn't speak English till I went to kindergarten. And I love Greek. It's a beautiful descriptive language. I still think in Greek. It's my preferred language, although I don't speak it as much these days. In English, I see doing good in verse 9 and let us do good in verse 10. Same word. In Greek, I see good, which is the generic word for good. So we've got Jesus the Good Shepherd there. Jesus says, I am the Good Shepherd. He uses that word, kalon or kalos. But then there's a different word for good in verse 10 in Greek. So I want to explore that word. And it's the same word that Jesus uses when the guy runs to his feet and falls at his feet and he says, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. Very provocative from Jesus, isn't it? But there's that root word again, good. So no one is, only God is good, but let us do good. Well, that's actually provocative too, because if no one is good except God and we can do good, what's going on here? And what is good? I think my mum taught me what good is. Because when I was a little boy, she was a Christian, I wasn't. She was praying hard and crying a lot so that I would become a Christian. And I didn't become a Christian until the age of 27. But I remember those prayers when I was a little boy. And she would tell me to pray to the Agathos God of the universe, the generous God of the universe, thanking him for his Agatha, his generous provisions that he was providing me with. And there was so much I had. I had a roof to live under. I had food. I had clothes. I went to school for free. So my mum taught me to pray those prayers, and in fact I would habitually pray those prayers for most of my life until I became a Christian, just remembering that God is generous, and when I have a meal in front of me, God is generously giving me that meal. It's divine generosity. I think that word means God's goodness expressed in divine generosity. And God is generous. If we stop to think about it, we exist. I was sharing earlier, I didn't share it this morning. When I was a kid, I had a fear of non-being. I used to think, okay, so I die and then I don't exist. So there's no consciousness of me. And I would go into a cold sweat thinking about that stuff. But then later on, I realized that I was created in God's image. And as a Christian, I'm actually created for eternity. And even though my body is aging and stuff's not working, I'm going to get a resurrection body, a resurrected body, to live in God's glory and bask in God's glory for eternity. Because God is generous. And even now, every day, we're able to breathe. Our heart beats. We have sunshine, we have rain, because God is generous. God is generous to all, but he's extraordinarily generous to those of us who have been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're called on to express that generosity. We're able to live out this divine generosity. We're able to partake in God's divine generosity because we're told in the Bible that we are in Christ. We are united with Christ. Our destiny is bound up with Christ. Christ owns us. In John 10, our Lord Jesus Christ says he's the good shepherd and he holds us in his hand and he will never let us go. That's the kind of assurance that we have in Christ. We're also indwelt by the Holy Spirit. If we go back a chapter in Galatians chapter 5, you would have thought after 59 years I would have memorized these by now, but my kids do from good Sunday schools. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. I think the best translation there is the NRSV's translation, generosity. Love the NIV, don't read the NRSV, but it probably got this right there. Faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. So when we trust in Jesus, when we are in Christ, we trust in Jesus, the Holy Spirit dwells in us, and the outworking of that is the fruit of the Spirit. And I see this all the time. I see amazing generosity when I speak in churches and people sponsor kids, and it blows me away because you're coming to sponsor a child for 5 or 10 years, that is extraordinary supernatural generosity. It is not a human kind of thing. It's a work of God in our lives. So how should we direct that generosity? Well, it says in verse 10, let us do good to all people, and that's what Pastor Sombat does. He cares for all the kids, whether they're Christian kids or Buddhist kids, probably the majority of the 500 kids in that project, the Buddhist kids, kids from animist families, kids from families whose parents practice witchcraft, or kids from families whose parents are drug dealers. He does good to all people. And when you sponsor a child, you won't know if your child is a Christian child until later on. You'll just be doing good to all people. In Indonesia, where you sponsor many children, particularly on the island of Java, many Muslim kids are being cared for. That's confronting for some people. I visited my sister-in-law's 12-year-old Muslim sponsor child, and it was an amazing visit in a very difficult part of town, a very challenging part of town where there was a proliferation of Muslim extremists. But I thought, what an extraordinary privilege she had to be sharing these words of eternal life with a little Muslim girl. Through sponsorship, you can do good in so many different ways. Compassion is a holistic organisation. Cares for kids spiritually, cares for kids physically, builds up communities, trains parents, trains kids. And this is false advertising, because at this point I would say I have profiles of kids from northern central Java, but they've all gone after the last three services. So there are no kids' profiles from northern central Java. But you can still sponsor a child somewhere in Indonesia, or in fact anywhere in the world. In Latin America, that's the place where we felt COVID most acutely. Many parents lost their lives. Many kids lost both parents to COVID. Some children died. In places like Bolivia, entire church teams were wiped out by COVID. So they're rebuilding, and I've got profiles of kids from Latin America. We're also in the midst of a global food crisis right now. And who's suffering the most? Well, people who have the least income, people in Africa. There's an extra person dying of malnutrition every minute now, because of the global food crisis, but you may not have seen it in the news in Australia. Perhaps you have. So I want to encourage you, if you don't sponsor, I want to thank you if you do sponsor. And if you don't sponsor, please feel free to take a profile home and just pray about it. It's between you and God. No one's going to coerce you. No one's going to ring you up. Just take the child, pray about it, and you've got until the 7th of August, at which point the QR code on the back won't work anymore, because then I've lost the right to hold this child. I've had the child's profile for too long. There can only be one profile, either on paper or separately on the internet, but you can't be in both places at the same time. So you do have custody of a child, but don't let that dissuade you and put you off. Just bring it to God, and if he wants you to sponsor that child, he'll make it evident. And you can do that by hovering on the QR code, or if it doesn't work, which doesn't work sometimes, you can call that number and do it over the phone. Now, this is a little girl who is from northern Sumatra. Handa is from the same project as Geriswanda, who I'm going to talk about in a minute, one of the highest performing projects in all of Indonesia, and not far from an active volcano. So she turns 12 this year, and she's been waiting for quite a while for a sponsor. So she previously had a sponsor, and she's no longer sponsored by that sponsor for whatever reason, so we don't kick the kids out, we just find another sponsor for them. So let us do good to all people. But wait, did I get something wrong? Because then it says, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Have I overstated God's imperative to care for all people? Well, I don't think I have. Because again, that Greek word, sorry, I'm going to drive you crazy with the Greek, that Greek word, malista, and I remember my dad, when he was still alive, he would say this word all the time. Are we going to go to the beach tomorrow? Malista. Yes, certainly. It's an emphatic yes. So Paul's not saying here, look, do heaps of good to Christians and a little bit of good to non-Christians if you've got some time, energy and money left over. He's just saying, as Christians, it's part of your DNA to do good to all people, and certainly you should know from God's word that you're going to look out for each other. You're going to look out for your family members. And in fact, the word for family there is household. And it paints a beautiful picture for 2023. We are one big global household. And we can actually look out for each other. So if compassion does good to all people, how does it specifically care for the household of believers? I'll be a bit indulgent. I'll show some photos of our trips. This is Marky in 2014. My eldest son Marky is doing his HSC now. And this is when he met Geras Wander in January 2020. And the volcano was pretty active at that time. And I remember the villagers said to us, "Aren't you scared?" We said, "Should we be scared?" And they said, "Maybe, but we're used to it. We're not scared." And one of my kids said, "Why don't they just move to another place?" I said, "Yeah, that's poverty. You can't just move to another place. They're subsistence farmers." But Geras Wander has just started university recently, and hopefully he'll be able to break that generational poverty just as CJ has. We went back in 2020. The churches we visited in Medan, Indonesia in 2018 had all doubled in size in 2020 because there is an incredible wave of conversions that's been going on in Indonesia for some years, which has accelerated during COVID because churches have been caring for people and people have seen the beauty and the love and the compassion of Jesus expressed through churches. So in that, that's my family with Gary's family. In that town, there are 1,000 people. This is how compassion is doing good to the family of believers. There is a church there ministering to those 1,000 people. 105, so more than 10% of the entire village, are compassion sponsor kids, but through sponsorship, siblings and parents are positively affected, and at least half the town is being changed through the ministry of compassion. But it couldn't be done by that church with the amount of resourcing it would have. But it can be done through sponsorship, through the sponsorship dollars that are raising up tomorrow's leaders in Indonesia. So compassion is doing good to the household of believers, and compassion is also doing good to all people. And you too can do good as you have opportunity. But actually, again, I don't know if that Greek word is right. Craig will probably never invite me back. But it says at the proper time in verse 9. See, that's the Greek word keron. But then in verse 10, it says if we have opportunity, keron. Kind of implies now and again when you have a chance, oh, do some good. But really, it's like with the life that our generous God has gifted you, with your heartbeat and your breath, people who are Christians, use your life to do good to all people. Use the time that God has given you. I've had 59 years. Some of you have had less years, some of you have had more years. But God has given us Christian lives to live out. And certainly live them out to be a blessing to the family of believers as well. I think I've gone over time, so I'm going to stop. Finish up? Okay. This is a great time to be caring for kids in the developing world. It has been an extraordinarily difficult time for people in Australia, but exponentially more in the developing world. Loss of life, loss of livelihood and income. Online sexual exploitation in Southeast Asia is up 1,000% because parents have run out of options and an evil person walks into town and tells the parents, "I know where you can make money." It has been a very, very challenging time. But what I've seen again and again, is that my alarm so I can stop talking? Is that for... What I've seen again and again in my travels is these churches that we partner with, the churches that you partner with in Indonesia, they have not grown weary in doing good because they are Christ-like. It is part of their DNA. They're infused with the Holy Spirit to care for the communities, and we have the great privilege of partnering with them. And I want to thank all of you who sponsor for partnering with them, and all of you who are a blessing to all sorts of kinds of different ministries and also supporting the work of this local church. Because if you don't support the work of this local church, compassion wouldn't exist, because that's where we find our funding. People like you who have not become weary in doing good. I just want to leave you with a final image and a final example. Well, the final example of someone who did not grow weary of doing good is our Lord Jesus Christ. He became poor. He gave everything. He died with nothing. He gave his whole life so that we can have extraordinary heavenly riches and the promises that we have, which are more valuable than gold, as we're told in 1 Peter, I think it is. But I want to leave you with a final image. Imagine a family, hypothetical family, not my family, I've got a great family, but not my family, hypothetical family. A family where everyone loves each other equally, no one misses out, and the upwelling of that love, familial love, spreads out to other people and cares for everyone around them, extended family, community, friends. What would you call that family? You would call that a beautiful family, right? So now let's consider a church. One big global household. Some churches haven't got enough. Other churches have got more. They're blessing those churches. And the upwelling of that generosity that's going on within the household spills over and blesses communities all over the world, Christian and not Christian. What would you call that church? I would call that a beautiful church. So I want to encourage you to keep being the beautiful church. Amen.